gather this morning on the second Sunday during the season of Lent to prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Savior this morning. Let's prepare to worship this day. It's okay to clap. That's worth it. Amen. What a wonderful way to begin our worship this morning. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Mark, for our beginning of our beautiful day to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to gather together this morning in the Lord's house on this second Sunday during the season of Lent to prepare our hearts and minds to once again encounter our Savior. This is a season where we're called to prepare and reflect on how God has shaped us, how the Lord has shaped us and is preparing us to encounter Him once again during Holy Week. So I hope the music this morning, I hope the scriptures that we read, the prayers that we lift up, and the sermon a little bit later on will help guide you along this Lenten journey. For those that are gathering this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your families. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource today. For those that are gathering in our pews this morning, use that as a resource, not just for worship, but for this coming week and the weeks to come, for some of the things that are coming up in the life of our church. We had a wonderful time of gathering this morning at 9:20 of prayer, our rooted prayer time that takes place in the sanctuary. And I want to encourage everyone, that you're open to anybody can come to that. It's not just for our deacons, it's for anybody who would like to come to begin the morning, the Sunday morning, with a time of prayer. Of course, our Sunday school hour starts at 9:45, followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. Now, our Sunday night ministries get started back tonight, and you'll hear a little bit more about what will be taking place this afternoon, this evening. But just a reminder, starting tonight and for the Sunday nights coming up, we will have activities and events for everyone, for all our age groups involved starting tonight. So just be prepared for that. We've had a wonderful time of Lenten study that began this past week with our Tuesday night virtual study on Facebook Live. That study takes place at 7 p.m., and it's open to anyone. It's titled Witness at the Cross. This past week, we had an opportunity to look at the introduction in chapter 1 in this book by Amy Jill Levine. And she is a wonderful scholar who dives into Scripture to see who were those that were standing or sitting or even hanging there with Jesus at the crucifixion. What did they see? What did they hear? And how does that speak to us? That's what we're talking about on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. So join me on Facebook Live for Session 2 this week. If you missed last week and you want to catch up before we go to Session 2 this week, you can go to our Facebook page and pull up that video to watch that at any time at your convenience. We will be starting an adult study on Sunday night starting next week at 5 p.m. called The Last Supper on the Moon. And yes, that's what I said. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different approach to approaching this season of Lent, but you'll be it'll be well worth your time to come joining me at 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall starting next Sunday night. I do want to remind you that Gay is planning to take a group of individuals on our Fun and Fellowship trip on Tuesday to the Greensboro History Museum and to the Olympic Family Restaurant. But I do want to remind you that if you have not signed up, you need to sign up today. She needs to know how many are going so she can make sure the reservation is made for that tour. So make sure you sign up today. Make sure you contact her today. If you're watching virtually, you say, hey, I want to go on that trip. Make sure you let her know today so she knows how many are going on Tuesday. Also, our March missions collection is continuing. Many of you have brought non-perishable items to help restock our food pantry here, and I want to thank you. Many of you donated to help supply our benevolence fund. We had 4 calls this past week for individuals in need during this time. It is a desperate time for many in our community, and I want to thank you for your support that we can help meet needs of families in our community. So thank you for your donations for that. Also, Jerry wanted me to mention this morning, if you have any interest about helping with just a simple task on Sunday mornings, please talk to him. That simple task is driving a golf cart from up top, down below, and from down below, up top every Sunday morning. We provide transportation for those who need it on Sunday from Sunday school upstairs to the worship service downstairs. But if you would be willing to help with this, please talk to Jerry this morning. He needs 1 or 2 additional individuals who will be willing to help with that on each Sunday morning, and they go on a rotation. So you don't have to do it every Sunday, just once every 3 or 4 weeks. We gather here this day to sing praise to God. We gather here to celebrate His power, His mercy, and His love. So let's stand this morning. Let's sing praise to God, the one who's gave His life for us this morning.
We're going to introduce a new song to you this morning called The Mighty Cross. And in the chorus it says this, His sacrifice on Calvary has made the mighty cross a tree of life to me. So think about that as we sing this and join us. As you hear it the first time and then the second time, you'll be able to pick up and sing with us. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Mighty cross of red and gold,
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 27. I'll be reading verses 1 through 6 and verses 13 and 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advanced against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. The verse that jumped out at me this week was reading this passage. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. As I watched the news this week, I saw Christians in the Ukraine worshiping in bunkers. I saw Christians lifting praise to God as bombs were falling above them on their heads. That's what it means to lift praise to God no matter what is going on, no matter what we are facing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, giving thanks to the one who made a covenant with us years and years and years ago that still holds true today, to be with us no matter where we are and no matter what we face. Let us pray. God of promises fulfilled, we gather as descendants of Abraham. We stand before you as faithful testimony to your covenant. We assemble as living proof that your love for humanity knows no limits. When we feel overwhelmed by the stresses of daily life, we need only look at the stars in the sky to remember your abiding faithfulness. When we are overcome with despair by the pain of war and poverty in our world, we need only see the light of a single candle to remember the one you sent as our light, our strength, and our salvation. We pray now in the name of that light, Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. as I mentioned before, our Sunday night ministries begin this evening with our church council meeting, a meeting that hasn't taken place over the last couple months because of COVID. I just want to remind all our ministry teams that we ask that you be present today at 4 o'clock for that church council meeting that will take place upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom as we discuss upcoming plans for our church family and be able to communicate that with our congregation in the coming weeks. It has been a couple months since we have met, even though our ministry teams have been active even during this time. So I want to make sure that all our teams are present so we can make sure we're coordinating together, make sure we know what we're communicating, getting everything on the calendar for the upcoming months of March, April, and May. Now, our Elon Roundtable meeting is open to everyone, and that'll take place at 5 p.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall. Now, we want all our church membership and any guests to come to that meeting and be a part in finding out what's going on in the life of our church. You're going to hear updates about our technology upgrade. Many of you experienced that this morning during Sunday school. We're going to update you on things that are taking place there. You'll have updates on our endowment fund. You'll have updates on the work that's been taking place with building the grounds over the last couple weeks and months. And there will be additional discussion topics as well. So come out tonight at 5 p.m. upstairs in the fellowship hall to be in the know about what's going on here at First Baptist Elon. Now at this time, I'll call on our deacon, Susan Reinheimer, to come share our offertory prayer this morning.
Let's pray. We give you thanks, dear Lord, for this beautiful, cold, and sunny day and the opportunity we have to worship you. We send up prayers today for the people of Ukraine. Give them your peace and strength during this time. We have a hard time understanding why these things happen in the world, but know that you can work through all for good and even work to change the hearts of those who began this war. Now we thank you for all your blessings in our lives. And please bless these offerings and take them to use to help spread your word. In your name we pray. Amen.
Suffered, have you been to
Would you pray with me this morning? God of compassion, the way of the cross is as much a mystery to us as it was to the immediate followers of Jesus. But we have heard how your grace is exercised in the journey of suffering and rejection experienced by Jesus at the cross. Help us to hear with ears inspired, to see with eyes open to your ways, and to respond with lives committed to your service. God of our Lenten journey, we watch and walk with Jesus this day. We repent, O God. Oftentimes we cannot name our own crosses, even though we try. Show us the cross you give us. Help us see. Give us the faith to respond and follow Jesus. We have heard that it is in losing our life for the sake of the gospel of Jesus that we find our true life. God of our Lenten journey, we watch and walk with Jesus this day. Hear our prayer, O God, and the prayers of your people this day, all gathered around the world in your name, in cathedrals, in churches, in homes, and even in bunkers. God of our Lenten journey, we watch and walk with Jesus this day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Again, let me say good morning, and thank you for joining us for worship this morning during the season of Lent, and as we continue to look at the crosses of Christ this morning. This morning we turn our attention to the cross of suffering. From the outset this morning, I want to acknowledge that sometimes carrying one's cross and following Christ means that we will face trial and suffering. Sometimes we face trial and suffering in our lives. During these times, we must remember that Jesus said, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. God's word reminds us that there is joy in suffering if we can but just see through it to what will be, what is to come. These trials test our faith. But when we remain strong, it will bring much praise and honor on the day when Christ Jesus is revealed to the whole world. Now, suffering can come in many different forms, challenging our faith or daily walk with Him. As many of you know, I faced a time of suffering in my life during my adolescence. As many of you know, I am a type 1 diabetic. I was diagnosed at the age of 11 months old. At that time, I was the youngest person diagnosed in the state of North Carolina. And I do not remember life without coping with this degenerative illness. If you see me up here on Sunday morning, reaching down to my side, which I do practically every Sunday morning, and you may be thinking, what's he playing with his cell phone for? Or why is he messing with his microphone? I can hear him fine. I'm not messing with my microphone. I'm not messing with my cell phone. I'm messing with my insulin pump, which goes off at the most inopportune times. It's already buzzed at me three times this morning on Sunday morning, and I'm trying to get it to stop buzzing. It drives me crazy. Just ask my wife during nighttime when it buzzes, and it drives her nuts. She wants to grab it and throw it across the room. But most likely, you have heard me talk or experienced me in the midst of dealing with this suffering in my life. The insulin pump has been a lifesaver now, but back in my adolescence, it didn't exist. As most teenagers do, when we're teenagers, we like to do what we want to do and not what we should do. And with me, it was with my diabetes. It was rebelling against what I should have done. specifically with my diabetes care. See, my parents, who aren't here today, but they're watching online, provided everything I possibly could need to make sure I took care of myself. Supplies I needed, doctors I needed, diabetes care training that I needed, and as any good teenager would do, I just did not want to do it. But I had to take care of myself. It was something that I needed to step up and do. But for a long period of time, I did not care. And this led to suffering. It led to suffering. Not just physical suffering, but emotional and spiritual suffering. I don't know how many times in my life I would say, God, why did you give me this illness? It's just not fair. Why can't I eat whatever all my friends are eating? That's just not fair. Why do I have to do multiple shots or eat regular meals or check my blood glucose, which it seems like 100 times during the day? That's just not fair. This suffering time during my teenage years led me to being put in the hospital a couple of times at Duke University Hospital to better take care of my diabetes. Now, I did not want to be there. Just talked to my mother and my father about those times. Those had some very heated conversations. You can talk to my doctors too, but they can't tell you what I said. But I felt I was being punished. I felt I was going through something that I did not deserve. I was suffering. And in the midst of it all, I saw no way out. However, there was one night when I was sitting in the hospital alone, surrounded by many other teenagers or adolescents who were going through other illnesses and other struggles of their time, I realized that there was hope in the midst of this darkness. I did not realize why God gave me diabetes at that time, but I knew that He was providing me with the tools to be successful in the midst of this suffering. I could choose to either wallow in my doubt and frustration, wallow in the suffering, or take ownership of who God made me. I came home from the hospital a few short days later after that night, and I've never stayed in the hospital overnight again for my diabetes. Getting through suffering is about seeing through to what will be, not at what is in the moment. Jesus told his followers that he would suffer, and we too might suffer. So what do we do with this cross of suffering when we face it? Let's look at Jesus' words in the Gospel of Mark this morning, chapter 8, verses 11 through 38, to see what we can glean from his wisdom. Now, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me, or you can follow along on the screen as well. Now, in the context of this story, understanding what just happened right before this, Jesus had just asked his disciples as they were walking along, who do the people say that I am? Who do they say that I am? Jesus had already begun his ministry, had already done many things, done many miracles, had taught many things. He said, who do they say that I am? The responses were John the Baptist, or Elijah, or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, who do you say that I am? What a powerful question. That's a question each of us has to answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? And Peter replies, as he always does, you are the Messiah. And then this passage happens, starting in verse 31. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about him, this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or anyone is ashamed, or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. You see, the first lesson that Jesus teaches us about suffering, when we face suffering, is to not get lost in the moment. Don't get lost in the moment, but see through it. Now, in recognizing Jesus as the Messiah, the disciples were grasping hold of the messianic hope of the day. You see, the Messiah would come in power, break the bonds of Roman oppression, and restore the future and the fortunes of the people of Israel. They were thinking of the fulfillment prophecy that had been cited many years ago, and one we read every season at the season of Advent. Isaiah 9, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We say all that at Advent, right? But we're in the season of Lent. How do those two go together? This is the same one who would pick up the cross of suffering. The same one we proclaim and praise as the infant child is the same one who would pick up the cross. Now, when Jesus, the Messiah, starts talking about his impending suffering and death, his friends do not take it well. Don't talk about that. They did not hear everything that he said, though. Jesus said that he, the Son of Man, would suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the leaders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. This is actually what we talked about this past week on Tuesday night in our study. They heard him say that he would be killed, but they did not hear him say that three days later he would rise again. Or maybe they did, and they just didn't get it. How often do we sit there and we just don't get it? I sat in the hospital many nights, and I just didn't get it. Jesus was not at all enthusiastic about suffering and dying. How many of us are? But Jesus did see through it. Jesus could see through the suffering and the pain and the dying and being buried, because what he saw through was the resurrection. You see, there's power in being restored. There's a show on the American, I think it's on the History Channel, about the work of the American Restoration business in Las Vegas. I'm a night owl, and sometimes I flip through and watch things just because I just watch things. And there's a show about this gentleman, this company, that restores old antique things. It could be anything. And it's amazing, because I always like to see what people want restored. People are strange people. Did you know that? They want some really strange things restored sometimes. Now, some of this is pretty cool, like a jukebox or a Coke machine, a telephone, motorcycles, but like childhood toys, I'm getting off the topic now. The list goes on and on. But in every instance, this gentleman, Rick Dale, can readily see the pile of junk, which is how it starts, in front of him, and he can see what it will be. He can see what he can make it into. By the end of the project, the item goes from a piece of junk to a thing of beauty, valued in the eyes of the owner. That's what Christ, and that's how Christ looks at us when we answer that question: who do you say that I am? God's word says, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, and your faith is far more precious than mere gold. You see, the disciples saw suffering and death. That's what they heard. That's what they were seeing. But Jesus saw suffering and death and resurrection because he saw through it. We too may choose to focus on the gloom and despair and the doom in the moment. But we're also assured that all things do indeed work together for the good of those who love God. It may not be immediate, but if we look through it, if we see through it, we'll get there. But that's not the only thing Jesus taught. The second thing he taught us is this. When we face suffering, well-meaning people may want us to just play it safe, just to get by in the moment. But guess what? We got to see through them as well. As Jesus was sharing with his disciples what was about to come, they took him aside and said, don't say that. Don't talk that way. It says Peter specifically took him aside and rebuked him. Can you imagine rebuking Jesus? Boy, that takes some guts. Peter liked to talk. Peter would say things before he actually thought about what he was saying. Can you imagine taking Jesus aside and say, don't say that. Don't talk that way. That's something a parent would do with a child. Who was the parent and who was the child in this situation? He didn't want to hear about the dying and the suffering. Be positive, Jesus. That's what we're here for. You're a winner, Jesus. We're going to pat you on the back. We're going to give you a participation trophy at the end of this. But that's not what Jesus was there for. Jesus' response was, get behind me, or get away from me, Satan. It's one of the strongest comebacks that Jesus ever said in Scripture. First, who says that we're not supposed to struggle or suffer in life? Who says there is no inherent value in the challenges that we face? Who says pain and suffering are supposed to be avoidable events? Remember Job's friends in the infamous Old Testament book? They heard about his misfortunes and they gave him great advice. Well, you know what? Innocent people don't perish like you are. Basically, they were saying, if you're suffering and experiencing pain, you brought it on yourself. Ever heard that before? Ever said that before? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Job had been a good person, and now his life was in shambles. In the New Testament letters of James and Romans, we are reminded to let troubles and suffering be an opportunity for joy. No one wants to see a friend or loved one experience suffering. We don't like to experience it. We don't want to see our loved ones experience it either. Jesus' friends were not being bad people. They were his friends, and apart from this messianic hope, they did not want to hear Jesus talking about suffering and dying. They wanted to focus on the Messiah part, the saving of the world part. They didn't want to focus on what had to come to make that happen. Unfortunately for Jesus, and fortunately for us, the will of God entailed a little detour along the way that we know as the cross. Well-meaning people want the best for us, but they may not know or understand that what is best looks a lot different than what they see and what God sees. It is about God's call on each of our lives. It is about God's providential and permissive will in each of our lives. Where your work is important to God, because it is. Your marriage is important to God because it is. Your parenting is important to God because it is. Your grandparenting is important to God because it is. Your choice of educational tracks is important to God because it is. Your health care decisions are important to God because it is. Now, not all choices are equal, but they're all important to God. So when you have prayed and sought God's will and have come to counsel by wise individuals and godly people and arrived at a peaceful place, see through it. See through it. Jesus also says, when facing suffering, always follow Christ because he's our lead. I came across an amusing story about a little boy who was experiencing his first day in first grade. Now, he had gone to preschool, and he had gone to kindergarten, and as most kindergarten students do, they went home at lunchtime, they did half a day, and they went home. Well, on this first day of first grade, this little boy at lunchtime, it came to that time, he started packing up his book bag, putting all his books ready to go, and he was putting his book bag on his back, ready to go home. Well, the teacher looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" Didn't say that, she was thinking it, and she said, "Ryan, why are you packing up your book bag?" And Ryan replied, "I'm going home." His teacher tried to explain that now that he was in first grade, he had a longer school day. She said, "You'll go to lunch with the rest of the class, then you'll come back to the room and we'll do some more schoolwork, and then you'll get to go home a little bit later." Now Ryan looked up at her in disbelief, and then seeing that she was not laughing and that she was not joking and that she was serious, he put his hands on his hips and he demanded, "Who signed me up for this program?" I think sometimes we're like Ryan when it comes to our spiritual walk. You see, when it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a devoted follower of Christ. Who signed me up for this? After all, we're called to turn the other cheek. Do we do that good? Very well. Get behind me, Satan. We're called to forgive others. 70 times 7. How well do we do that? Get behind me, Satan. What about shouldering a cross and following Christ, even if it means losing your life while doing so? Now, being a Christian is probably as easy in the United States as it is anywhere on this planet. If you have time and you don't believe that statement, take a quick look at the Voice of the Martyrs website when you have a few free minutes instead of scrolling through social media and see how easy we have it. It's a sobering experience. Religious intolerance is the rule rather than exception in much of the world. Look at the Christians that are gathering in bunkers or underground in the Ukraine on this day, still lifting praise to God while bombs are being dropped on their heads. A different story. There's currently an Iranian Christian pastor by the name of Yousef Nadarkhan who has been sentenced to be hung for being a Christian pastor if he does not renounce his faith in Iran. The hanging could take place at any time. At just the drop of a hat, they could do it without any warning. Jesus was very upfront with those who chose to become his followers. On one occasion, he told them, "When the world hates you, remember it hated me before it hated you. A servant is not greater than his master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you." Jesus never sugarcoated the Christian life. Jesus never pulled any kind of bait and switch where he said, "Oh, it's going to be great," and then all this suffering happens. Jesus made no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Being a Christian is sometimes about taking up and carrying the cross of suffering. But he also said, if you lose your life for my sake, you will find what true life really is. So when you suffer, see through it. When you suffer, you have to see through to the kingdom that is not of this world. The final lesson in the closing this morning is that we're called not to cave in. We don't cave in to the suffering or the oppression that's taking place. When Jesus asked, what does it profit or benefit you if you go with the cultural flow? Take the road of least resistance. Avoid suffering at all costs and make for yourself a little bit of heaven on earth if in the end you get nothing in eternity. What does he say? Jesus compares ease in this life against eternal loss in the next. Which one do you want? Ease here? An eternal loss there, or reward there, and maybe some suffering here. For most of us, it will not mean being hanged at any moment. Nevertheless, we are constantly barraged with instances where we can give in to the easy thing and get by. There's no eternal profit in caving in on matters of faith in our life. What does it benefit you if you gain the whole world but lose your soul in the process? When facing suffering in a life, see through it. Are you facing suffering right now? Are you hearing the burdens barraging over top of you like bombs dropping? Are you bearing the burden right now in your life? Jesus' words serve as a good reminder that as his followers, we should not get lost in the moment, looking for the easy way out, caving into the pressures of the day, even if our friends say this is the easy way and the right choice. Instead, we should keep our eyes on him, following him with each and every step, every difficult breath, every struggle that we face. And all the while, seeing through it to the reward that lies ahead. Returning to my story at the beginning, I realized back then, and I continue to understand now, that the reason God blessed me with diabetes is to help others who walk through difficult medical steps today. Multiple youth have come through our youth program who have been diagnosed with diabetes. It's no coincidence that I was here. I've had an opportunity to sit beside many church members who have struggled with degenerative illnesses, whether in the hospital or at home. That's not a coincidence. That's God preparing me for what he's called me to do. Now, I still struggle with the disease. If I told you I didn't, that would be a lie. But I struggle with it, and I suffer often, but I can see through it to God's purpose and hope in the end. That is what Jesus was talking about in Scripture. If in this life you carry a cross of suffering, see through it. Because guess what? You'll succeed in the end, because he did, and we will as well. Let's pray. Father, we all live different lives and we're all called to do so many different things. Father, and I know that right now as we sit here and those that are watching at home, there are numerous individuals that are suffering, going through physical, emotional, spiritual suffering. And I pray that the music today, the scripture passages, the words that I just preached that you gave me, Father, I pray that that'll speak to that moment, that suffering will all of a sudden seem not the overwhelming burden, but the ability to see through to what you are shaping and molding, preparing that individual to be. Father, in the moment, it hurts. It's painful. It's a struggle. But you hurt, and it was painful, and it was a struggle as you walked to the place where you were hung on the cross. And as you hung there, gasping for breath and giving your life for the world. Father, we follow you. Father, we follow your Son who gave it all. And we give our life to you this day. Amen. Today, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, if you're facing suffering, don't feel like you're walking alone. Jesus has been that path ahead of you. There are other Christians that are walking right now. Maybe you're facing struggling coming up in the future. If you're walking there, know that God is there with you. See through it. Realize that He's there with you every step of the way. The altar is open this morning. Come if you need to lay that suffering on the altar. Give it to Him. Or if today you're looking for a church family that's willing to walk with you and help carry that burden that you're bearing this morning, we're here for you as well. Whatever you need this morning, don't put it off. Don't carry it alone. Give it to God. Let us share with you. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. As you walk out this place today, if you're carrying the cross of suffering, know you don't go alone. You're not carrying it by yourself. That Christ is right there with you. See through it. See how He's moving in the midst today. I hope I'll see you tonight back at 5 o'clock for a round table or 4 o'clock for church council. But go in peace knowing that He's walking with you every step of the way.